Good evening. I'm Mark Rabinowitz, a participant in Permatopia, a new organization that's focused on sustainable solutions to peak oil, climate change, and other environmental crises. I'm also the publisher of oilempire.us, a website that's read internationally, that ties together many of the themes of tonight's presentation, www.oilempire.us. This event is being recorded for a new video from the Wilderness, Mike Rupert's publication. One quick request before we start, if you have a cell phone, this would be a good time to turn it off. The word permatopia literally means a permanent place, but it also means a permaculture utopia, a vision of a sustainable way of living beyond the era of cheap oil. Permatopia is sponsoring a variety of events in the coming weeks about permaculture gardening, renewable energy, and other local solutions to these global problems. Everyone should have gotten a flyer with the list at the front door. This list is also posted on our website at www.permatopia.org. The word Oregon is a corruption of an indigenous word for the abundance of fish grease that this region was famous for, a resource largely destroyed by a history of boom and bust extractive industries, mining, deforestation, overfishing, and other forms of habitat destruction. Those of us with allergies this time of year suffer from the incredible pollen of nearby grass seed farms. 80% of Lane County's agricultural land is growing grass seed for export to desert towns and Chinese cities. A survival strategy for peak oil would convert these farms to produce food, fiber, and biofuel. After all, Republicans sneeze just as much as Democrats, and we all need to eat. In the 1980s, Lane County decided that the solution for the depletion of old-growth logs was to bring in recreational vehicle manufacturing and high-tech industries. These RV companies make personal vehicles that are even more inefficient than Hummers. Converting this RV production to public transit vehicles would be a wise preparation for peak oil. Perhaps they could build our bus rapid transit vehicles and power them with seed oil made on former grass farms. A few weeks ago, the proposed Coburg Power natural gas power station was canceled. And thanks to everybody who helped with that. But on the positive side, the $1 billion that it would have cost to build and power it could build solar panel factories that could solarize the region while creating lots of good jobs. The city of Eugene now promotes the idea of sustainability, yet a couple blocks from here, the city wants to build yet another parking garage next to our new Homeland Security federal building. And Lane County is spending $1 million on the Region 2050 visioning effort to examine how the metro region will grow by 2050. Yet they ignore the fact that most of the oil will be gone by then. Mike Rupert's publication, From the Wilderness, states that it provides a roadmap for understanding world events. If you were lost in a place you didn't want to be, an accurate map that told unpleasant truths would be more useful than a map that was more pleasant but unable to help extricate you from your predicament. Facing the full truth, as much of it as can be determined, is needed to solve our deepest problems. We can't be Nazis who do not want to see if we want to have a better world. Michael Rupert is an honors graduate from UCLA in political science and a former LAPD narcotics investigator who discovered CIA trafficking in drugs in 1977. After attempting to expose this, he was forced out of LAPD in 1978. In 1996, after 18 years of being a voice crying in the wilderness, he managed to have a face-to-face public encounter with then CIA Director John Deutsch, who had gone to Watts to deal with the community uproar. And this propelled him to some of the notoriety he enjoys today. Mike is, of course, most notorious for being a courageous voice after September 11, who helped to connect the dots to show that 9/11 was not a surprise attack and that it was deliberately allowed to happen to provide the pretext for a seizure of the Middle East oil reserves. Most wars have some sort of justification created to whip up public fear and anger, something that top Nazi Hermann Göring said at the Nuremberg trials, quote, "All you have to do is tell them that they're being attacked and denounce the pacifists for lack of patriotism and exposing the country to danger. It works the same in any country." Eugene's most famous politician, Senator Wayne Morse, saw through the phony pretext of the Gulf of Tonkin resolution in 1964 and voted no. While no one was killed by that deception, 58,000 Americans and about 3 million Vietnamese were killed as a consequence. Mike's November 2001 presentation at Portland State University, now archived in the film The Truth and Lies of 9/11, which is for sale in the back, has withstood the test of time. In early 2002, the liberal alternative, quote unquote, media responded to this information that Mike and many others had compiled, not by independently confirming whether the claims for Bush administration complicity were true or not, but instead, they made crude efforts to ridicule and discredit. These defenders of the surprise attack paradigm include David Corn of The Nation, Norman Solomon, and Chip Berlay, to cite a few. Whatever their motivations were, their actions did an enormous favor for Bush. If the media had made a serious effort to investigate 9/11, Bush would have been impeached and indicted, and the invasion of Iraq might have been avoided. Last year, when Crossing the Rubicon neared publication, I was curious what sort of reception it would have in the media and by the powers that be. Around that time, Amy Goodman was in Eugene, and she replied, quote, good, when told that Mike's book was about to be published, but her show Democracy Now! Will not put him on the air. KBOO Radio in Portland, on the other hand, is a co-sponsor of his talk on Thursday in Portland and has aired these issues since 2001, but unfortunately they're a minority in the media. We need to vote with our money to support media that dare to investigate unpopular truths and pressure those that ignore these core issues. Now that Crossing the Rubicon is in print, a strange smear campaign has accelerated on the internet, making all sorts of bizarre accusations from voices who are promoting extreme ideas about 9/11 complicity that lack substantive evidence, an effort that seems to be the official response to the book. These efforts remind many of us of Karl Rove-style hoaxes that involve fake evidence to turn off the media and the public to looking at real evidence of scandals. This strategy is now being used to turn people off from looking at peak oil. The precise timing of peak oil is not an issue. Whether it's now, next year, or even in a decade or two, doesn't matter much, nor change the need to shift course from exponential growth that is devouring the very basis for the planet's ability to sustain our civilization. Surviving and thriving after peak oil will require using the resources currently invested in the military. How we use the remaining half of the oil determines the future of humanity. Will we use the remaining oil to make solar panels and relocalize food production? Or will we use it to build more military equipment to control the oil as it runs out? Converting these resources to peaceful permaculture uses will require removing the pretext for what Cheney calls the war that will not end in our lifetime. That is a quote. A century ago, Thomas Edison said, I'd put my money on the sun and solar energy. What a source of power. I hope we don't have to wait until oil and coal run out before we tackle that. He was a smart guy. 3 years ago, From the Wilderness's science editor, Dale Allen Pfeiffer, wrote, quote, you see, there is a lot more at stake here than just a continuation of the Cold War or U.S. imperialistic greed. There is enough energy remaining in the world right now for us, the people, to take control and ease ourselves into a democratic, egalitarian, stable state society. Or there is enough energy for the elite to build a feudalistic, fascist police state with themselves at the top. This is the choice facing us right now, and this is truly what is at stake. Let's have a big welcome for Michael Rupert.